kind of sad to see me after that, isn't it? I can understand your feeling. I want you to take a deep breath and then let it out. Go ahead, it's not that hard. Biologists tell us that every living person breathes in and out about 2,000 times each, 20,000 times each day. 20,000 times each day. Each year of your life, you take 7 million breaths. I want you to count them in 2020. So I'm not asking you to do something unfamiliar or something that's that difficult. I'm asking you to breathe and breathe deeply. I especially want, are there any parents here tonight? I want parents to breathe deeply. You have been diligent in doing all the things parents try to do to make Christmas so memorable for their children. It's time to stop crossing things off your list of tasks. So put down the cell phone. Don't let that endless loop keep running through your brain. Put it all on pause. And just breathe. I also want the children here to take a deep breath. Oh, that's a hard one to ask of you, isn't it? You're a bit wired, aren't you? Some of you had sugar today. I know, it's all that visions of sugar plums dancing in your... I've always wondered what sugar plums really are. You're excited because gifts are awaiting you under the tree, and if you grew up in a home like I grew up, or if you're growing up in a home like I grew up, we couldn't open our gifts until Christmas morning, except one gift from Aunt Mona, and Aunt Mona always gave me socks. So if you're here and you're under the age of 12, you're probably hoping this service doesn't go too long and the preacher doesn't... Yeah. I would like to meet with that family immediately following this service. College students, home on break, take a deep breath. Finals are over. What you have written, you have written. In other words, I want everyone here to just breathe. In our American culture, it's not uncommon for us to talk about keeping Christmas alive as if it depends on us. I'm not sure where that idea that we were responsible for keeping Christmas alive first began. I know it goes back at least as far as 1843, the year Charles Dickens published his now classic story about Christmas. You may remember at the end of that novel, Scrooge says, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year." Well, that's a noble sentiment, but I wonder if we've taken it too far. Because keeping Christmas alive takes all kinds of demanding forms, depending on your background or your preference or your spiritual formation. For some, it's going gangbusters on decorating your home, trying to outdo the Griswolds in the number of lights on your house. Mary and I have chosen to go with a much more restrained look. For others, it's tracking down the right gifts for everyone on your list. Maybe it's hosting gatherings or wearing ugly Christmas sweaters or wearing... Would you just stand up? Thank you for keeping Christmas alive. Maybe it's insisting, I hope you're not obnoxious when you do this, insisting on saying Merry Christmas to someone who says Happy Holiday. Perhaps it's getting all the family together to watch It's a Wonderful Life or Elf or some other classic holiday movie, or go to the Jiva to see Dickens' book put into life. Maybe it's attending this service is your way of keeping Christmas alive. Maybe that's why you're here tonight. Or maybe it's someone else in your family who wants to keep Christmas alive and made you come with them. I apologize to any who are here under compulsion and not of their free will. If you are feeling unsafe right now, please let me know. You see, most of us do something to make Christmas happen, to maintain the tradition, to ensure that we have some sense that we did okay, that we passed muster, that we did what we had to do to observe one more Christmas. And I think you have to chuckle at our efforts, our frantic behavior, our compulsive attempts to outdo Martha Stewart or Joanna Gaines in decorating or hosting. So stop it. For the rest of this service, just stop it and breathe. Because this is what I want to tell you. None of us can keep Christmas alive. It's not in our purview, nor is it in our power. Did you hear the marvelous statement that was read from the letter of Hebrews? Listen again to verse 3 of chapter 1. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. It's that last phrase that really grabs me. Sustaining all things by His powerful word. Do you catch the implication of that? You don't keep Christmas alive. Rather, hear this. Christmas, in a sense, keeps you alive. Now, just so you don't accuse me of being a heretic, which some of you have done in the past, let me clarify that statement. I am not saying you are kept alive by celebrating Christmas. In fact, some of you are nearly done in by your observance of Christmas. By the way, if there are any parents right now in need of critical solitude in a quiet room, ushers are standing by to usher you out. What I'm suggesting, and I want you to hear this, at the very center of Christmas is Jesus, and it is Jesus that keeps us alive. Jesus, who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God the Father. He sustains all things. Do you realize that, what that means? You can relax. Let Him take over. That's what I mean by taking a deep breath. I'm talking about letting go of your needs to control things and pass the baton over to Jesus. Later, in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, the author writes, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." That's what I mean by breathing, turning your eyes on Jesus. And look at Him. Look at Him. Not just Jesus, the babe in the swaddling clothes. I mean, that's pretty cool to see Christ in the manger. But Jesus in other ways. Look at Jesus as the great teacher. One day in Galilee, we're told in the Gospels, He said to His disciples, "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Can you hear Jesus saying those words to you? Look at Him. Not just the child born in Bethlehem or Jesus the great teacher, but see Him on the cross dying for you so that you, not Christmas, might be kept alive. Back to that quote from chapter 12 of Hebrews, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." The statement goes on to say this, "For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross." I think that's a remarkable claim to have the word joy and cross in the same statement. Jesus loved us so deeply that he endured the cross, knowing the joy that was to come. Can you see Jesus on the cross, enduring the suffering for you because of that unmistakable, unfathomable, unrestrained love for you? Helpless babe, wise teacher, suffering Savior, and finally look on him as victorious Lord of all. He walked out of the grave. I don't know if you heard that, but he did. He conquered death, and he's as alive now as he has ever been. Think of that. In the old days, when most of the Christians worshiped in churches and cathedrals were illiterate, stained glass was prominent in sanctuaries. It was, some have called it, the poor person's Bible, because the stained glass told the story that people couldn't read for themselves. I love the stain. Have you noticed the window here tonight that dominates this sanctuary? If you aren't familiar with it, the window is a depiction of a very famous painting that hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. The painting is titled The Light of the World, and it was painted in 1904 by an artist named William Holman Hunt. He said at that time the painting was inspired by the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's one of the most famous artworks in Christianity. And at the bottom of the painting, Hunt quoted the words of Revelation 3:20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." That door is representative of your heart. Jesus stands knocking, waiting to be invited in, waiting to bring light in life. I've always been impressed by the gentleness of Jesus, which I think that painting depicts. A gentleness you find in the gospel accounts and in that marvelous image. He stands gently knocking, respectful, not obnoxious, not intrusive. He stands awaiting the invitation that only each of us give for him to enter. And what's true about Christmas is about all of life. We don't keep Christmas alive. Christmas, in a sense, keeps us alive. We don't embrace life. Life in Christ embraces us. There's a wonderful statement in one of Paul's letters. In him, in Jesus, all things hold together. So what I want you to do tonight is to breathe and ask Jesus to fill your life and hold all things together for you. I came across the book 2 years ago with an intriguing title, Caesar's Last Breath. The author, a guy by the name of Sam Keen, writes a book about science in very engaging style. In this book, he had a thought experiment. He said, "What percentage of the molecules in Julius Caesar's last breath gasped during his assassination in 44 BC are currently in your lungs after having circulated throughout the atmosphere for centuries?" Isn't that a creepy thought? You see, every time you breathe, you exhale some 25 sextillion molecules of oxygen. A sextillion, in case you don't know, is a million raised to the sixth power. 25 sextillion molecules of oxygen every time you exhale. Look at your neighbor's breath right now. Doesn't it look dense? In a typical day, in all likelihood, hear this, you breathe at least one molecule from the breath of every person who has ever lived. That sounds really weird, doesn't it? Isn't that a bizarre thought? And the author has degrees from Harvard and Princeton. He knows of what he writes. I came across the book just a couple of months ago that reminded me of that statement, a book about the body written by Bill Bryson. And he affirmed what that book by Sam Keen said 2 years ago. So here's the bizarre thought. You knew I wouldn't be too conventional tonight, didn't you? Here's the bizarre thought. Is it possible that today you have breathed a molecule that the Christ child breathed on that night so long ago in Bethlehem? Just think about that. Just marvel if that could be indeed true. It makes Bethlehem seem not quite so distant and far away in another galaxy. It sounds too fantastic to be true, but I want to tell you something that's even more fantastic. Every person who invites Jesus into their life when he knocks on the door is filled with the very breath of God, the Holy Spirit. The breath that gave life to this creation can animate your life tonight. Amy Grant, I love her Christmas albums. There's a song she wrote in 1992 called Breath of Heaven. And in the chorus she sings, "Breath of Heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me." My prayer tonight for you, for all of us, is that the breath of God holds us together. So keep breathing through the remainder of this service. But more importantly, let the breath of God breathe on you now and forevermore. I want to pray with you. Father, we've gathered in this sanctuary because we want to keep Christmas alive. But Father, we pray now that the very presence of Christ Jesus would keep us alive. Oh Father, may your breath be felt on our faces. May you enter our hearts and lives and transform us wherever we are on our spiritual journey. And I pray before we leave here tonight, we will take a deep breath and once again ask you to be Savior and Lord of our life. In the name of Christ we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.